Are you thankful for the special music today? These songs that glorify Christ and look to Him. It's an amazing thing that God would send His only Son to suffer for us. But we have no hope without that. So eternally separated from God until Christ makes a way through faith in Him. I want to invite you to open your Bibles to Romans chapter 8 once again. We're walking through the book of Romans. We've made it partway through chapter 8. We're going to pick up right where we left off last time. And that's going to be down around verse 9 is where we're going to pick up. So if you missed last time, or maybe you forgot what we talked about last time, what we're learning about is the fact that we have to walk according to the Spirit. And it's a result of everything that we've learned about from chapters 1 through 7. The reality that this world is given over to sin for those who reject Christ. But for those who come to faith in Christ, we know that we are not worthy. We can't earn it. We are all guilty before God. We've all come short of the glory of God. We've all sinned. But God, in His great mercy, He sent Jesus, even while we were sinners. He died for us so that we could be forgiven, so that we could have life. And He spent a long time teaching us that it doesn't matter whether you are a Gentile without the oracles of God, without the Word of God, or whether you were a Jew who was trying to justify yourself to find righteousness through the keeping of the law. None of that could save, but only by faith could you be justified before God. And so we're all saved by the grace of God through faith in Christ alone. So salvation is by faith, and He's been teaching us about that. And then He has to deal with this. Well, if it doesn't matter how I live, I get to have eternal life just by believing. So should we just keep on sinning because that magnifies, that puts on display the grace of God? And the answer is, God forbid. How can we, who are dead to sin, live any longer therein? And so we're saved not by our works, but by faith. But when we are saved, we ought to live like we're saved. And so we come down here to chapter 8, and what He's telling us, remember chapter 7, he talks about that war in His members, how that we want to do what's right, but sometimes we don't. And we don't want to do that wrong thing anymore, but sometimes we fall, and we've got a war in our members, but our victory is in Jesus. And so He's walked us through all of that to bring us to this. If you're going to live as though you're saved, you're going to have to walk according to the Spirit of God. You're going to have to live in the Spirit of God. So Romans 8, verse 9 is where we're going to pick up our text today. If you are physically able, will you stand with me? We're going to do things backwards to what most people are used to because I'm me and we do things weird here. But we're going to pray and ask God to speak to us through His word, and then we're going to read the text. Why? Because whose word is this? And when we read the Bible, God is speaking. So that's why we stand. That's why we ask God to speak. We want to hear from God. We want to reverence and honor His word. So let's pray, and then we'll read. Father in heaven, thank You for another day that we can gather together with the saints, that we can come together as a body to worship You. And Father, I pray that Christ has been magnified in our prayers, in our class time and study, as we have sung praises to You and as others have sung praises to You in special song. I pray that Christ has been magnified in our hearts and in our minds. Lord, I pray now, as we open the Word of God, the very bread of life, I pray that You will speak to us yet again. I pray that Your Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth and teach us. I pray that You would give us ears to hear today. Father, I know that our flesh is weak, and I know that we have so many distractions in our lives, in our hearts, in our minds, and I pray that You would just help us to put on those spiritual blinders, to tune out all of those things and fix our eyes on Jesus this morning. I pray You'd help me, for I'm nothing without You. I pray You'll help us to hear Your word, to believe Your word, and by the power of Your Spirit to obey Your word. Help us to be disciples indeed, continuing in Your word. Help us to bear much fruit for Your glory. And Father, I pray that if anyone hearing the message today has never been born again, they're still in their sin, I pray that You would convict their heart, draw them by their Spirit, use Your word to bring forth fruit in their lives, that they would repent and believe the gospel, that they would call on the name of Jesus and be saved today, and help all of us who are saved to walk with You and to help others walk with You, being disciples who make disciples. For we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. As you remain standing, pick up at verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken or make alive your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Amen. Please be seated. So last time we saw this, we must walk according to the Spirit, which indicates to us that we have to make a decision every day to die to ourselves, to yield ourselves to God, to make a choice not to walk in the flesh, but to walk in the Spirit. That's something you have to make up, really not just daily, but moment by moment. Two, we learned verses 5 through 8, and we didn't get to dig into this nearly as much as we needed to, but you can study it on your own. Verses 5 through 8, he's really showing us that we have to set our minds on the Spirit of God. We must set our minds on the things of the Spirit. Now, most of us, if we're honest, we have a hard time setting our minds on the spiritual things, setting our affections on things above. Most of us, if we're honest, we really struggle getting our minds out of the world, out of the physical, out of the temporal, and onto the eternal. We struggle with that. Is that fair? Why? Because, well, I mean, everything we see is worldly. Everything we see is fleshly. Everything we hear, if we're not careful, can come from the world. So what do we have to do? We have to be really careful what we see and what we hear. We have to be very intentional that we make sure that we get in the Word of God every day so that we can stay focused on spiritual things. Listen, if you were real honest this morning, how many of you could say that there's been times that you've gone days without reading your Bible? How many of you, if you're real honest, could say that there have been times in your Christian life you've gone weeks without reading your Bible? And no, it doesn't count to hear the preacher read it from here on Sunday. That doesn't count. I'm talking about you personally on your own getting in the Word of God. And the sad truth is there are Christians all over this country who go not just days, not just weeks, but not just months, but years without ever opening their Bibles on their own. And then they wonder why they struggle with sin, why they struggle with getting their mind out of the gutter, why they struggle with those things, why their faith is weak. Well, your faith is weak because you're spiritually starving to death. Spiritually, you're dying inside. Spiritually, you have removed the bread of life from your life. So friend, listen, if you're not in your Bible, get in the Word of God and set your mind on the things of the Spirit. Then we come down to verses 9 through 11 and get this. We must live in the Spirit. And I love how God gives us these things and it has so many different applications. We understand today that the just shall live by faith. What does that mean? Well, it means a lot of things. And first of all, it means that you can't have life eternal. You can't have spiritual life. You will remain spiritually dead and separated from God for eternity unless you're made alive by faith. You become alive by faith. What does that mean? It's the law of the Spirit that we learned about last time. The law of the flesh is to keep the works of the law in your body. That's not how we're saved. The law of the Spirit is the law of faith, that by faith in Jesus you're made right in the eyes of God. So it's by faith, trusting in Christ alone. We must live, we must have life in him. Verse 9, you are not in the flesh. You are not in the flesh, but you are in the Spirit. Notice verse 8 again real quick. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. Then you go down to verse 9, but ye are not in the flesh. There's a distinction. What is the distinction? Those that are in the flesh are not saved. Those in the flesh are not born again. Those in the flesh don't have faith in Christ alone. But you who are in Christ have been saved by faith in Christ, and the Spirit of God is in you. You're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if the Spirit of God dwells in you. And if anybody doesn't have the Spirit of God, they don't have the Spirit of Christ, then they are not Christ. What's that tell us? You guys still with me? If the Spirit of God is in you, you're saved, you have eternal life, and God is with you, and you are in him. If the Spirit of God does not live in you, then you are not Christ. You are not saved. You do not have eternal life. It's pretty basic, isn't it? It's pretty simple. But here's where it gets hard. Because all through this chapter and all through your Bible, he teaches us that those who have the Spirit inside of them, it's going to be evident in their life. There's going to be fruit when the Spirit of God lives inside of you. I want to be real careful here because I want to make sure to keep this in the right balance. And I can't look in your heart to know whether you're saved or not. And I don't know that it's my job or anybody else's job to inspect everybody else's fruit. We're to exhort one another. We are to hold one another accountable. When we see somebody in sin, we're to try to help that brother or sister up. You guys still with me? Because listen, I know you don't like this, but when you see somebody who messes up in sin, the answer to that isn't to gossip about it with other people. It's to go to that brother or sister and try to help them. Stop trying to think that you haven't ever fallen, that you didn't ever need help, that you never got off into sin. But what we normally do is we just kind of look away, right? We just kind of drive by on the other side of the road and pretend like we didn't see anything. So don't misunderstand me today. I understand that saved people can fall. I understand that saved people sometimes don't always act like saved people. And I understand that sometimes we don't bear the fruit that we ought to. But you need to get this today. You need to understand what the Bible's telling you today. If you are saved, the Spirit of God is in you and he will bear fruit in your life. Not that he should, or that he could, or that he might, but he will. The Spirit of God coming into your life can't leave you unchanged. It's impossible. The idea that the Spirit of the living God came inside of you, and you look and act and talk and dress and live in the same way you used to, completely unchanged, is completely contrary to everything the Bible teaches us about being saved. Find Galatians 5 in your Bible. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. I mentioned this last week, but we're going to dig into it just a little bit more today. Now, before we get into this, I want you guys to look at me real quick just for a second. How many of you could say that you can recognize in your Christian life that there have been times that you were walking in the flesh and not in the Spirit? How many of you could say that? Okay? I can testify to you today that I spent a lot of time. See, I'm not like some Christians who, when they got away from God and were walking in the flesh, they quit church. I never quit church. So even when I wasn't walking in the Spirit, my tail end was still in the seat. And some of you might find that to be hypocritical, and it probably was, but I think that's right where I needed to be. But I'm going to tell you this, when you're walking in the flesh and not in the Spirit, this time that we have going on right here is not super enjoyable. Not something that you want to hear, but it's something that you need to hear. And you know what's crazy about it is you can't see in somebody's face whether they're walking in the Spirit or not. Like, none of you have halos this morning. Can't look around the room and see who has a glowing aura. Oh, so spiritual. You can't see it in somebody's smile. You know, people can fake it. They can pretend. So I need you to hear this with open ears today, because your flesh does not want to hear it. But the Spirit of God that lives inside of you is dying to hear it. He wants with everything he is to hear this and to be changed by it. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Now, does that not sound to you exactly like what he wrote in Romans 7? The good that I would do, I don't do. The evil that I wouldn't do, that I do. And he says, oh, wretched man that I am, there's a law that I find that there is a war going on in my members. There's always sin present with me, because why? No matter where I go, there I am. So there's this flesh and spirit who are warring against each other. But listen to this, verse 18, but if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. And that's what he's teaching us here in our text. You've been taken out of the law because of faith in God. You are in the Spirit. You're not under the law anymore. But then he says this, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. We're going to walk through this, but get it. All of these Jews thought, I got to keep the law to get righteousness so I can be right with God and have eternal life. He spent a long time saying, no, that's not how you get eternal life. You don't get eternal life by staying under the law and fulfilling it in the works of your flesh. You have to let go of that. You have to repent of that and trust in Christ alone. Now that you understand you're saved not because of your works, you're saved by faith. Now that you are saved by faith, let me tell you about works. You guys see that? And do you see why so many people have such a hard time with this? I mean, most of the people you meet in this community believe, oh yeah, you got to have faith in Jesus to be saved, but then you got to live it. I mean, it's up to you to keep it. No, it's not that you have to live a certain way to keep your salvation. It's the fact that if the Spirit of God lives inside of you, you will live a different way, and it's the evidence of your salvation. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and what's the next two words? What's that mean? It means that I just gave you an extensive list, but if I left anything out, anything else like those things, okay? Because I seriously doubt anybody in the room made it through that list unscathed. Like, you're like, oh, that's not me. Oh, that's not me. Oh, that's not me. I know that one guy. He's like that. And that lady over there, she's like this. I know some of you may have made it through the list thinking, I'm free. None of that describes me. I don't struggle with any of those sins. But he makes sure to get all of us with such like. But I think that if you're honest, probably more than a few of those things hit home. The works of the flesh are put on display. Adultery. Everybody know what that is? It's when you're not faithful to your spouse. And Jesus says that when you look with lust on a person, you commit adultery in your heart. That's God's standard. Well, I've never actually done anything, but listen, if that sin is in your heart, if it's in your mind, if it's in your eyes, then you're guilty in the eyes of God. Fornication is the Greek word porneia. It's the word we get pornography from. It literally means harlotry or indulging in unlawful lust. It's sexual immorality. And this word fornication is an umbrella term, and it covers all sexual immorality, including adultery, pornography, homosexuality, bestiality, or any other sexual perversion that you can see by watching a Disney movie today. Sexual immorality that you'll see driving down the street in Muldrow. Sexual immorality that you'll see advertised on our billboards all around our community. You guys still with me this morning? Y'all don't like it hearing about sin today, but I'm telling you that it's all around us, and if we're honest, it's in us. That's why I have to put off the works of the flesh. Uncleanness simply means impurity. It means impurity, and it's any form of sin that dirties our lives. And if you're saved, then you know what this means, because when you sin against God, you feel dirty. Lasciviousness is indulgence without restraint. When you have impurity in your heart and mind, it will lead to lasciviousness if it's not put away. And that's when you just let everything go and nothing matters. And that's what we see in our world today, where people have gone into sin and they have gone completely out of their minds with their wickedness. And as Steve's dad, Bo, used to say, what used to sneak down back alleys now struts down Main Street. And what used to sneak down back alleys now struts down Main Street, goes beyond that. Now they have parades through Main Street. And the type of lasciviousness that's put on display in our country today, on social media, in libraries, in public spaces, in front of and for children, is disgusting. And some of you in the room would say, I would never, friend, listen to me. Nobody starts out down this path of wickedness to say, I'm going to get as wicked as I can, but that's where they end up. Idolatry. The word literally means image worship. But I don't think there's anybody in this room that doesn't need to hear this today. Anything you love, anything you serve, anything you fear more than God is an idol to you. Some of you have made your family your idol. Some of you have made your job your idol. Some of you have made money your idol. Some of you have made your hobbies your idol. Any of us, if we're not careful, can make anything our idol. Even good things can become your idol. Listen, mamas, if you love your children more than you love Jesus, that's idolatry. Listen, fellas, if you love fishing more than you love God, then you have made fishing an idol. If you love hunting or sports or anything else more than you love Jesus, you've made that thing an idol. I don't care what it is. And God has given us a lot of things to enjoy in this life. And you say, well, God gave me it and I'm going to enjoy it. But when you put that thing above Him, it's an idol in your life, and idols need to be killed. Idols need to be burned. Idols need to be ground up into powder and thrown in the river Swift. They need to be put away. Idolatry. The next one's fun here in Oklahoma. It's witchcraft. Do you guys know what the word witchcraft comes from? Witchcraft is a Greek word, pharmakeia. It's the word we get pharmacy from. Witchcraft started out as like medicine. But as those pagans began to worship their false gods and they would begin to take in drugs to enhance their spiritual experiences, and a lot of the religions in that day demanded that you did that. You had to eat something, smoke something, or drink something to have this euphoric feeling, to have this encounter with the spiritual. And so they mixed it in with drugs. And so witchcraft had to do with their worship of false gods using drugs. Listen to me. We had a lot of people worshiping the idol of self, and they're using drugs to do it. Right here in Oklahoma. We just came back from New Mexico. New Mexico has legalized marijuana in that state as a recreational drug. Here in Oklahoma, it's supposed to be for medical purposes. So when we were going to door to door, you know, I just really got homesick when we knocked on those doors that smelled like weed. I told the people who are with us from Arkansas, I'm like, man, this smells like home. Doesn't matter whether it's marijuana, alcohol, prescription drugs, or anything else. People are abusing drugs and alcohol in our country at a disturbing rate. Amen. It's nothing new under the sun, I know that. But listen to me. Those things cannot help you. If you need medical help, if you need some type of medication to help your mental health or your physical health, then you need to see a doctor. And you need to let that doctor help you. Amen. People have been self-medicating themselves for centuries, and it has led to death and destruction in families and lives. So don't misunderstand me today. Sometimes you guys hear what I'm not saying. I'm not saying that people don't need help. I'm saying they need to go to the right place to get help. I'm saying that you need somebody who can actually help you. Hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, all of these things have to do with division. All of these things have to do with angry. All of these things have to do with jealousy and strife. All of these things have to do with giving into the flesh. It's Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to all you men. Men tend to struggle with a different set of sins that women tend to struggle with. And pride and anger are usually at the top of that list. The fruit of the Spirit is not anger. The fruit of the Spirit is not wrath or strife or division. The fruit of the Spirit is not jealousy. These are things that are the marks of somebody who's walking in the flesh. And brothers, we need to put away our pride and walk in humility. We need to put away our anger. We need to walk with forgiveness. We need to put away our divisions and find unity through the Spirit of God. This is what Jesus prayed for. Is that you and I would be one with the Father and one with Him. That we would be one with Him as He is with the Father. What the Spirit does is it brings unity. Murder comes on this list. We've been so desensitized to murder in our country today. There are a lot of Christians celebrating even today that Roe v. Wade and Hobbs were overturned. And there's no way for us to even know how many moms are killing their babies at home with pills. People are celebrating that the clinics are shut down. But almost every week on social media, I see pictures of babies in toilets. 12 weeks, 15 weeks, 3 months. Murder is the result of walking in the flesh. And don't forget, in case you feel like you're free on this one because you've never murdered anybody, but God's word says that if you hate your brother, if you despise and reject your brother, you're a murderer in your heart. I've talked about a lot of sin today. And some of you have not done a good job of holding up a mirror to yourself, but you've done a really good job of taking out the binoculars and look at other people's sin. God's word isn't a telescope to inspect somebody else's sin. It's a mirror to show us who we are. You say, well, I don't hate my brother, but I do hate some other people. Just because I'm calling out sin today doesn't mean that I hate people who commit those sins. And neither should you. We have the love of Christ for everybody. No matter what their sinful lifestyle may be, no matter what their lifestyle choices are, no matter what they do in this life, we have to love them. Drunkenness is just what it means. Revelings means carousal or letting loose. We would probably call that partying and such like. So why would I take the time to go through all this? You're like, Brother Isaac, I thought we were in Romans. I don't know what you're doing. Preach it through Galatians. Like, what's going on? Well, the reason is this. Because Galatians lays it out really well, exactly what he's talking about back in our text. And what he's teaching us is that we need to live in the Spirit. Look at it back in our text. Look at verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Do you guys see this? He's telling us that there ought to be fruits of the Spirit. He's telling us that we shouldn't be bringing out the fruit of the flesh. Why? Because if you're bringing out the fruit of the flesh, if the evidence is that you're in the flesh, that means the Spirit of God isn't in you. That means that you're not alive in Christ. It means you don't have the Spirit of Christ. So I need you to hear me today. I know that you all have been to a funeral somewhere. and you have tried to comfort your heart, just like I have, with somebody who made a profession of faith when they were 12 years old, and they never lived their life in any way that indicated the fruit of the Spirit in their life, and we hope with all that we have that they were really saved back there at 12. And if they were saved, then they were saved. But there's little comfort when there's never any fruit. And it ought to be that when you come to the end of your life and somebody like me has to stand up in front of a group of people like you and say, brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so has lived a life of the fruit of the Spirit of God. It was evident in their life that when they were saved at 12 years old or whatever it was, that they were walking in the Spirit of God. And yeah, they weren't perfect, but they had love in their life. And they had the peace of God in their life. And they had the joy of the Lord in their life. And it was evident that the Spirit of God lived in them. I know, guys. You start preaching through this stuff, and somebody's going to accuse me later of preaching salvation's by work. And my mind is just going to be blown, because I don't know how anybody could listen to a sermon here at Calvary and think that anybody in this place believes you're saved by works. But I am here to tell you that your life should be changed because you're saved. And you should live according to the Spirit. You should die to yourself and be filled with the Spirit every day. So I want to ask you, because I can't see. You know, Brother Dustin always says, Steve's son, Dustin Mitchell, we always talk about this. He says, I wish people would turn green when they got saved. I mean, I really do. I wish you guys got a halo when you got saved. Ba-ding. There's another one. Light came on. And now we know. But God doesn't work that way. He doesn't give us halos, and he doesn't turn us green. There's no little light that comes on in your eyes. There's no way that we can really know. I don't know. And the truth is, when you look around the room, you don't know either. But you know. And so my question for you today is, do you have the Spirit of God in you? If you do, then you have the Son. If you have the Son, you have life. But friend, if you don't have the Spirit of God in you, you are none of His. That's question one. Do you have the Spirit? Second question is, if you do have the Spirit, are you living in the Spirit? And if you're not, now's a great time to do something about that. If the Lord wills, this afternoon, we're going to pick up right there and finish out down through verse 17. Dig in a little more about some practicalities about how to live in the Spirit, not in the flesh. But right now, will you stand with me? Our musicians are going to come. We want to give you an opportunity to respond to God's word today. Somebody in the room right now or watching online might be thinking, I don't know if the Spirit of God's in me or not. I really don't know. If that's you today, if you're saying, I think I have the Spirit, but I don't know, then I'll invite you to cry out to Jesus right where you are. You could come down to this altar. It doesn't matter. Wherever you are, cry out to God to say today and just be honest with him. Lord, I don't know if I have the Spirit of God or not. I don't know if I've been born again or not. And God will help you. The answer for all of us is to repent and believe the gospel. If you know you have the Spirit of God today, you can say with your hand on your heart, I know. I know I'm born again. I know Jesus has saved me. I know I have eternal life through him. Are you walking in the flesh or in the Spirit? Are you living this life in the Spirit or are you living it in the flesh? If you're not living in the Spirit, we need to repent. We need to repent and we need to ask God to help us to stop living in the flesh and start living in the Spirit, bearing fruit for his glory. So if he's convicting your heart, I invite you to come while we sing.
Page 577.